Okay, it's 7:03. Mayor Robert A. Stone. I'll call the meeting to order. Introduce everybody first. On the end, Steve Swagger is our city attorney. Then there's Betty Coleman, she's our city clerk. Roy Coleman's our city treasurer. And I'll let the commissioners introduce themselves.
I'm Cassandra C., property maintenance.
Linda Deville, utility commissioner.
Carol Campbell, road commissioner.
All right. We're going to start off again this evening with the pledge of allegiance and a moment of silence afterwards. We can sit down on a moment of silence. Stand for the pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Bow our heads just for a minute. We'll start. First thing on the agenda now is the citizens' participation, and in this segment is the opportunity to speak up. We also have another one at the end, so if you hang around and you have any questions, you can also ask anything that you are unsure of during the meeting that you may need to get answers on. If you have a question during the meeting, you can raise your hand, and I'll take a moment to recognize you. Won't let you filibuster, but if you have something that you want to say about something that we might be discussing, we'll let you speak your mind, because we're just five people up here that are trying to make the city a better place to live, and we can't know everything about everything, so we want to make sure that you all are involved in these decisions, like we did last month when we picked the city website address name. So, they were all excited about that one, too. So, all right, who has a question they would like to bring up or a comment? Or yes, sir, Mr. Lutz.
Parking on the street. The difference in court in that curve, you can barely get through it.
I'm well aware of it. Yes. Yes.
That's all I have.
Yes, Ms. Quisenberry.
I'm on the Christmas decoration.
We haven't got there yet, but we'll be doing that later.
Oh.
We can't make decisions outside the meeting. That's a violation of the open records.
Oh, I forgot.
And open meetings. Okay. All right. Mr. Rice, you're next.
Yes, the lady up on the corner of our street, which is Fortington Hills and Luray Court there.
Yeah, Northumberland,
Northumberland. She has a problem with some people parking in, tearing up her yard, and she put these little barriers up there. So I don't know.
Yeah, we've had a discussion.
Okay, cool.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Amy Sanders.
Okay, Ms. Sanders. Thank you very much.
No S on the end.
Okay, Ms. Sanders.
Yeah. Okay. I just like to say it's been nice walking my dog on the sidewalk and not being poked in the eye by a tree limb. I have noticed improvement with the tree limb cutting.
Okay.
So that letter y'all sent out obviously has helped. It's been very nice. I've seen a difference because I walk all around the neighborhood with my puppy dogs.
Well, thank you. There's another one going out. Yes, sir. I don't know you either.
Yes, I'm Adrian Kitchens. I'm a resident on Bay Run Drive.
Adrian Kitchens?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually want to comment on the letter that was sent out, and I'm hoping to find some clarification from the city this evening as to why that went out and to all of the errors that went along with it.
Okay. Steve, you want to address this?
Yeah, this Rumkey complained that these tree branches that were extending over the line that would be vertical to the edge of the street were hitting their trucks and damaging their equipment. So I looked at the ordinance, and the ordinance said that the trees should be cut back to the house side of the sidewalk. So I couldn't send out a letter that just said trim the trees to the edge of the street, because that seems somewhat arbitrary.
Actually, sir, the ordinance says for any part of a lot, plant bush or tree to hang over a city sidewalk. So are you talking about cutting it from the street over to the sidewalk and removing the tree?
No, what I'm saying, not removing the tree, but, and I don't have that ordinance in front of me. But you, what you said was exactly what I said in the letter and what I just said right now.
Correct.
All right. So that's, I just couldn't arbitrarily say cut it to a different point. I had to find the point of law, and I had to incorporate that point in the letter and include with the letter the ordinance. Now, Linda and I have worked very hard since then, and Beverly came in my office at my expense. We spent a lot of time figuring out who to address these letters to. Pictures were taken. We tried to match up the pictures to the addresses. Some of the complaints were that the pictures didn't match the houses to which we sent the letter. So the bottom line here, as far as I see it, is it's not so much as enforcing a statute as it is being good citizens to cut the trees. And Linda and I formed a second letter to go out. Linda gave me some great insight and said, why don't we change it a bit? So I'll hand deliver the letters that we were going to mail tomorrow to the individuals that got the first letters to clarify it. So I think that what Linda suggested is that we ask that the branches be cut so that they don't extend over the street and that they don't descend over the sidewalk so as to catch someone in the eye and injure them.
Yes, but the ordinance has me responsible for any branches over the sidewalk, not over the street.
That's not what I said, Steve.
Okay, it's whatever.
Where's my letter?
Okay, it's whatever in the letter.
All right.
Okay, so what do you want to have branches hanging over the sidewalk for? If they fall and injure someone, you're going to be liable for that. I don't know why you
don't understand that, and I don't have a problem with having the branches trimmed. Now, I don't understand why we want a city with no shade over our sidewalks, but I certainly don't dispute that part of the ordinance.
Okay.
What I dispute is having to trim the branches over the street, because Rum keeps complaining.
If your branches are hitting their trucks, then they're going to have a cause of action against you for damage to their property.
Actually, isn't the tree the property of the city's? I'm just responsible for maintaining to the interior edge of the sidewalk.
It's your tree. Well, if that tree...
If it's my tree...
Is it on your property?
No, sir. It's in the median between the sidewalk and the street.
Who planted the tree?
The city.
No. Let me interject that. The developer planted the city, or the tree. That your lot actually extends to the curve of the street.
Well, looking at my survey property boundaries, the hash mark is in the middle of the sidewalk. And I thought, Mr. Schleider, you had told my neighbors that the city owns the sidewalk and the tree. We're responsible for maintaining the tree to the interior edge of the sidewalk, so no branches overhang the sidewalk. I'm curious as to why Rumpke's driving on our sidewalks and hitting branches.
No, they're not. They're driving on the street.
Well, then how is that my problem, sir?
I've never seen that.
If it's your branch... I assume, and you should not assume anything in this business, I assume that the trees were on the house side of the sidewalk.
Between the sidewalk and the
because
street.
Most cities don't permit... That's an illegal tree, because there's an easement that goes down through there.
If that tree was planted long before I purchased the home.
That's right. All right. So, I didn't know that. I had no idea that there were trees between the sidewalk and the street.
I mean, I've done my best for the 5 years I've lived there to drag my ladder into the street every year to trim the branches there.
All right.
But I've not incurred the expense, because that really should be the city's responsibility.
No one told me, too, that there were not sidewalks in front of some houses. So that letter goes out, and all of a sudden there's confusion because these people don't understand what that means because they don't have sidewalks. I wasn't given that information. I also assumed that there were no trees and easements because where I live, and most people, cities, they don't allow trees and easement because there are electrical and water easements many times here. I don't know where the easements run in this city. All right. All I'm trying to do is address the problem that was raised to me by Rumpke. All right. So if you don't, if that is not your tree, then you should have no problem with someone coming along and cutting.
Oh, I certainly don't have a problem with it. I just don't want to have to put the expense.
No, that's fine. I think you're the exception here. I think that any tree that's on the easement between the sidewalk and the street, I think that with impunity, the city can go out there and do whatever they want with it.
It's not our property, Steve.
It's not their property either.
That's right. It's the easement.
Yeah. And everything that I've read, the easements are a responsibility of the property owner adjacent to it.
We have to pay to have our tree cut down.
Yeah, so.
I think that's generally what happens.
Trees shouldn't have ever been planted in that easement.
Well, I agree with that, and I'm just looking for clarification.
I can't imagine that you would imagine that a bump tree was driving on the sidewalk. I mean, it doesn't seem to me that you want to cooperate here.
No, sir, I do want to cooperate. I'm just looking for some clarity on my responsibility.
Well, I didn't know what
your responsibility is.
Right.
Also, I do appreciate the recommendation, but how was that vendor chosen that was copied on my confidential communication?
I think that needs to be.
That what?
Your letter CC'd the owner of the private landscaping business. How was that landscaping business chosen, and why was he CC'd?
I was just trying to give you guys someone to go to. I didn't say you had to call me.
Why did you? You could give me someone to go to, sir, but why did you copy a private business on what should have been confidential communication?
It's a public record. It's not confidential.
So I can search for any record the city's ever sent out.
If you look at the statute and you come under some subsection of statute.
And how do we select this vendor?
Because he submitted a bid and he was approved.
Can we see that bid and proposal, please, sir?
If you want to make an open records request, we'll do that.
Certainly. And also the fees in the letter. I was charged $300, I was offered $150 to have my tree trimmed, yet my neighbor Jose was offered the same service for $300.
Because
now, his tree is much smaller than mine, according to the pictures, or my alleged tree wasn't even my tree in the picture.
We asked Harold Hall to go around and say, what would it be to
do? I'm sorry, who?
Harold Hall, who is the guy that owns.
He won't answer the phone.
Okay.
And there's no record for him online. So I would appreciate the bid. So
it was her phone number in the letter?
It was. Short letter.
Then call someone else. But all we're trying to do is accommodate it and be good citizens. I expect that most of the people out there would be a good citizen and try to get the tree so that they wouldn't interfere with Pumpkin's trucks. That's the whole thing behind this.
Well, is it the implication that I'm not being a good citizen, sir? I'm trying to understand what is required here by the ordinance.
Well, I told you, your tree is in the easement. It's not your responsibility. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything.
Bob, there are some gentlemen in our area that I found on Nextdoor that are willing to help people, and they do a good job. One of them saying is Matthew
Beltman.
Mm-hmm. And he came over and worked on mine, and he did an excellent job cleaning it up, putting it ready to be picked up.
I appreciate
and
that.
And did not let me pay him.
Not even my tree.
So,
appreciate your time,
say.
Well, I'm just asking. My name's Chelsea Brandis. I live on Bay Road. So, if it's not our tree, then I would like to have a clarification letter from the city stating that I don't have to incur the fine.
First off, you need to prove it's not your tree. Okay, the plots that I have the land of the owners going out to the curb. Okay, the street plot that I have been using for 4 years have everybody's lot goes out to the curb of the street.
Okay, so even with the ordinance saying that I need to trim it to the interior sidewalk, I still am not responsible to trim the trees, to trim the branches on the street, just the interior sidewalk per the ordinance.
What is your name?
Kelsey Brandis.
And your name, sir?
I'm Aiden Kitchen. The letter sent to me is the address on the chapter.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
And here's the
letter. There's the from him and not the commission.
It's the same letter.
I know, but you're
that was the letter.
You guys just wait till the questions are all
asked. Yeah, I've got one here for you. I mean, I want to give you.
You have one for him too?
Yeah. There's one for me.
It was a
dress.
It
was the same house.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I get it.
Okay, this Commissioner Bill, you have some questions.
I have some questions. Yes. Why was the violation letter sent directly and personally from the city attorney with his letterhead and not from the city commission or the city of Worthington Hills as an entity? Nowhere in the letter does it state he, meaning the attorney, is acting on behalf of the city. The only actual reference to the city in the letter is in the name of the ordinance. So, why was it sent directly from Steve and not from the commission?
Steve is the city attorney. Okay. And the city commission does not send letters. We're not enforcers. As far as we basically, when it comes to sending out letters, that has to come from our legal advice.
Okay, and the second question is, why is the contracted legal counsel acting as the city code enforcement officer?
I can send out letters that cite the code, Linda.
Okay, well, that's, I'm just asking okay. these questions because...
I'll let Bob answer.
Okay.
They wanted to know, is there not a specific commissioner that deals with ordinances and code violations?
No.
Okay.
That's a simple enough
answer. Who authorized the letter to be sent?
That's a good question. The task was given to Steve.
By whom?
By the commission at the last meeting. In November.
Oh, in November.
Then I don't do anything. I'm just to see.
Yeah, Steve won't do anything unless you tell him to. So.
Well, I know, but this person has asked me to ask these questions, and I said I would, and I am. They want to know what relationship, professional or personal, does the city commission or the city attorney have with Harold Hall?
I don't have any relationship.
There's no relationship. No. That was just, he was just asked.
How did
you
come in?
Is that person here?
This person is wheelchair bound and it's hard for her to get out. And so, then the question about why was Harold Hall copied in the letter has already been answered.
There was no obligation for anybody to call Harold Hall. I don't have any relationship with him. I wouldn't make a nickel if he did cut any of these trees. I'm just trying to give someone a name where they could call if they wanted to cooperate so that, and here's Harold Hall right here. They can hire anybody they want. And it's nice to know that some people trim branches so that this woman can walk with her dog and not have her eye punched out. But,
is that it?
And this person, the only reason this person is asking is because, as they say, the commission is responsible for its actions as well as the actions of those it contracts with, and it is accountable to its taxpayers and citizens. We know that. And they want to know, she wants to know, what specific action the city commission plans on implementing so a situation like this doesn't happen again. Amen.
What, then if there's a problem in the city that we can't address it? Is that what she's saying? So if there's a big hole in the street, we can't fix it?
I mean, when we...
We will address any issues that arise.
Right. Whether it's right or wrong, you know, we're a five-member commission. You know, we're just as human as the next person. We're not gods up here.
Well, that's why we have a commission in place to deal with the situations that arise. Right. So that
and when it comes to the letters, okay, they go out because the legal has to see the documents before they're mailed out. Okay, we're not going to put ourselves, I'm talking about the commissions, in a position where we end up being legally responsible.
Right.
We'll give it to the attorney.
That's why we don't send out letters.
That's right. That's right.
All
right.
Nobody gave me stationery when I was...
All right. We're going to move along. Anybody else have any questions? Okay. Moving right along now. I believe the next thing on the agenda...
Hey, Bobby, I have one question.
Well, not really a question, a comment.
Okay. What do you need?
As time goes along, and we want to do more with the city. I noticed that when he was looking at paperwork and it had the veteran things on it, I guess the flight trip for the veterans. We all probably get cards and stuff from the different organizations, from everybody, Boys Town, whatever. If people would save them and then come along Thanksgiving, let me know. You can bring them to me. I will address them. Mission Barbecue sends them. If you want to sign them, all you do is put, I think it's Dear Soldier, or Dear Serviceman, and then you take them over to Mission Barbecue, and they distribute them all over the state and all over the world.
Okay.
And I think that's a wonderful thing. They do it every year.
Okay.
And I distributed like 41.
And I was like, okay. Good job. Good job, Mrs. McCaff. All right. Next on the agenda is the reading of the minutes for our city meeting on November 20th and our special meeting that was held on November 27th.
November the 20th, 2018. Those present, Deborah Martin, Steve Swagger, Dennis Medcalf, Robert Stoneham, Cassandra Seas, Roy Coleman, Betty Coleman. The meeting was called to order at 7 p.m. by Mayor Stoneham with motions from Commissioners Martin and Seas. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States was repeated, followed by a moment of silent prayer. City Commissioner appointment. Mayor Stoneham nominated Linda Bazell for Road Commissioner, seconded by Commissioner Medcalf. The voting was tied 2-2 and did not pass. Citizens' participation. There were 21 citizens present. Questions and concerns were helping the elderly and disabled, parking permits, and mattresses that people had not disposed of properly. Minutes for the September 18th, 2018 were read. No motions were rendered for the minutes. Financial report. The Treasurer read the financial reports for the September and October 2017-2018 fiscal year. Commissioners Martin and C. made motions to accept the financial report for both months. The Commission was in agreement with reports except for Mayor Stoneham, who voted no to both. Presentation by City Attorney. Attorney Swagger has a pending contract for a company called It in a Box to be voted on. The Commission voted to settle waste management litigation. All were in favor. Attorney Swagger read the first reading of the ordinance for the meeting venue and the first reading of the ordinance creating the office of an assistant city clerk. The attorney will notify each transgressor pursuant to the applicant's ordinance for trees hanging over property lines. He was also asked to read the commemoration of the Jefferson County League of Cities for former Mayor Glenn C. Old business. Mayor Stoneham brought back to the table a municipal order number one, series 2018, dealing with the transition of the two administrations. Motions were from Commissioner Metcalf and Mayor Stoneham. The roll call vote ended in a tie for the second time. Commissioners Martin and C. voted no. Commissioner Metcalf and Mayor Stoneham voted yes. The municipal order did not pass. New business. Mayor Stoneham read three letters of resignation. Deborah Martin, Public Health and Safety Commissioner, effective November 21st, 2018. Betty Coleman, City Clerk, effective December 31st, 2018, Roy Coleman, Treasurer, effective December 31st, 2018. The Mayor asked for Commissioner Metcalf to be a co-signer for bank accounts since Commissioner Martin resigned. The voting was a unanimous yes by the Commission. He also recommended moving a portion of the checking account for the city from First Financial Bank to Independence Bank. The entire Commission voted yes to the move. Mayor Stoneham asked for permission to get with it in a box for them to set up a website for the city. The Commission voted a unanimous yes for the website. The new name for the website will be www.cityofworthingtonhillskentucky.gov. The fee is $500 a month. Commissioner report. Utilities. October report. Commissioner Metcalf drove the city with Commissioner Stoneham and followed Rumpke trash and recycle trucks. Drove the city and checked lights, answered one email concerning yard waste, not picked up in the city. Contacted Attorney Squadron concerning Rumpke not picking up yard waste. For November report, he sent one text and one phone call to Chris Pierce concerning Miss emptying of one dumpster at Trish Condos. He drove the city and checked lighting. He called LG&E concerning a light out at the corner of Nansmun and Facility Place, marked it with an orange tape. Public health and safety. Commissioner Martin reported for October. She issued parking permits as requested, drove through the city and reported to city officers the cars that were illegally parked. Sent pay statements to all city officials. She responded to emails and phone calls as needed pertaining to city business and concerns about her personal life from city residents and city officials. Property maintenance. For the month of October, Commissioner C reported September the 21st, accident at the Front Island involving Andrea Sergan's wife. She lost control of her car around 4 p.m. She lives at 15209 Jonelle Court in the city. Police arrived around 4:35. They called her at 4:19 to ask what to do. On September 23rd, Jennifer Harris called about a leaning utility pole in front of her residence at 4511 Pulaski Court. Called Dennis to let him know at 1:25 p.m. Chris McGahee called about a neighbor's grass. The backyard is like a jungle and the front yard is still high. He lives at 4605 Lunenburg. The address he's speaking about is 4603 Lunenburg. Barking dog loud music complaint. Report made a report to Metro. For November meeting report, Commissioner C, contractor spoke to Evergreen and scheduled them to come out and winterize the irrigation system on Tuesday the 30th in Bolton flagpole and front entrance. Fall cleanup. Flower beds, frost has killed the impatience and the contractor will remove them and cut back the perennials and clean out beds for winter. Prune the roses that are left. Trim the wood box and holly bushes for the winter. Mr. Hall spoke to Wabash Valley, the manufacturer, for picnic tables to get pricing on the cross members needed to repair the damaged picnic table. He will advise us as to the cost when I hear back from them. Road maintenance. For the October meeting, Commissioner Stoneham checked out city streets throughout the month. City residents continue to park on the street and in easements and yards. November meeting, a report. He checked our city streets throughout the month. City residents continue to park on the street and the easements and yards. He checked our city streets in the morning of November 15th for downed limbs and branches and moved all the fallen branches down off the street. He attended an introduction to a ham radio training session at Norton's Hospital Complex on November the 16th. The meeting was adjourned at 9:35 p.m. with motions from Commissioners Martin and Steve.
Any questions? Any comments? Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Commissioner Liddell. Yeah.
Who
said that? All in favor? Fidel. V-E-D-I-L-L-E. Fidel.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Do I hear a motion? All those in favor? All opposed? All right. No. Okay. Next, we have the financial report for the month of December.
What about this?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Good. We have a special meeting on the 27th, and if you would, I forgot about that one. Mrs. Coleman, would you read that one now?
November 27th, 2018. Those present, special meeting. Those present were Steve Swagger, Robert Stoneham, and Dennis Metcalf. Mayor Stoneham called the meeting to order at 10:03 a.m. Attorney Swagger and two commission members, Mayor Stoneham and Commissioner Metcalf, were present. Eight citizens were present. There was a motion from Mayor Stoneham to elect Commissioner Metcalf interim mayor pro tem. Commissioner Metcalf seconded the motion. The voting was unanimous. The two commission members, Mayor Stoneham and Commissioner Metcalf, voted yes. Number two, there was a motion from Mayor Stoneham to elect Commissioner Metcalf to take over to be the interim public safety and health commissioner. Commissioner Metcalf seconded the motion. The vote was again unanimous with the two commissioners, Mayor Stoneham and Commissioner Metcalf. Motion from the from Mayor Stoneham to nominate Carol Campbell and Linda Bavelle for the open city commissioner position. Commissioner Metcalf seconded the motion. The voting was unanimous with Mayor Stoneham and Commissioner Metcalf. Carol Campbell and Linda Bavelle were given the Kentucky Oath of Office by Attorney Steve Swagger and immediately took their seat as city commissioners. Motions from Commissioners Metcalf to nominate there was a motion from Commissioner Metcalf to nominate Commissioner Linda Bavelle as interim utilities commissioner. Commissioner Carol Campbell seconded the motion. The voting was unanimous, yes, with Mayor Stoneham and the new appointed commissioners. There was a motion from Commissioner Bavelle to nominate Carol Campbell as interim road maintenance commissioner position. Commissioner Metcalf seconded the motion. The voting again was unanimous with all the commission. Mayor Stoneham reintroduced Municipal Order Number 1, Series 2018, the third time, that deals with the transition of the two administrations. Motions were from Commissioners Metcalf and Commissioner Campbell. The roll call voting was Commissioner Campbell, yes. Commissioner Bavelle, yes. Commissioner Metcalf, yes. And Mayor Stoneham, yes. Special meeting was closed by Mayor Stoneham at 10:17 a.m.
Good questions. I hear a motion.
I move that we accept it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? All right. Everything's good for that one. Now, Mr. Coleman, it's your turn. I had a lapsing thought, so.
No problem.
It happens when you get old.
I find out when I get old. City of Wilmington Hills, fiscal year 2018, 2019, July to October.
Can everybody hear back there?
2018. General fund revenue, total property tax revenue for the month of November was $3,402.97. The Cable Kentucky revenue cabinet sent $379.04. insurance premiums for $30,922.54. Miscellaneous, zero. Total general fund, $31,201.58. Carryover income, $2,312.41. Giving a total of all funds of $37,016.96. General fund expenses, total media expense, $781.90. Total open space maintenance, $6,341.05. Total operating tax, $4,291.71. Total operations, $258.57. Total road expense, zero. Total salary expense, $5,468.32. Total security expense, $9,156. Total utilities, $10,365.87. Total general fund expenses, $36,660.42.
Do I have any questions?
Is this where I get to ask my questions about?
Yes, ma'am. That's where you get.
I'm
Commissioner Bernard, you may ask questions now.
I have to find out what I'm supposed to. I'm not allowed to ask questions. On the expenses, I don't, and being utilities commissioner right now, I don't know who this Evergreen Irrigation. I noticed that we paid them $300 on November the 7th, and we paid them another $300 on November the 30th. What were those payments for?
That was a duplicate payment. We will get credit back for the last payment.
So we will get a credit back. Has that credit been received?
No.
Why not? I mean, have they not sent it to you?
It's in the motion and process.
It's in the process of being refunded.
And if they, I'm not sure if there are any other charges for Evergreen this month. I don't know if there are. I think they're going to do some coming soon. But if they're not, we should get a problem of the debt. Is that all of it?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
And there again, I'm asking because I don't know who they are.
No problem.
And they may not even pertain to me, but who is or who are Ritchie Realties?
Ritchie Realties, they also do maintenance, I believe, on the grounds.
Grounds maintenance?
Yeah.
And we paid them $300 in November. What did they do in November?
What they do every month, and that's keep things cleaned up.
Oh, so they go around and clean up stuff? But okay.
Mostly the open space.
Islands.
Okay, so people they throw trash in the islands. If the bricks get hit, right, sometimes they hit that.
Okay, all right. See, I didn't know who. Okay, so they're just the cleanup thing.
Right.
Okay.
That charge you saw there for $100 probably covered more than just 1 month.
Yeah.
It's $100 a month, I believe it is. Something like that. But it's not all for 1 month.
All right. I think that's the only questions I've got about that.
Commissioner Campbell,
I have a question, and I'm new. I'm not sure, but on this, since I'm the acting road commissioner, on your worksheet, here's the funds that were transferred over to Independence Bank. We have a beginning balance of $112,000 and some, but then on your down here, almost at the end of the worksheet, the Independence Bank balance is $109,000. So there's a discrepancy of, well, over $2,000. And then the ending one, then there was like $2,300 some deposited. But then the ending ones are different also. The ending one, on the worksheet is 111,000 plus, and over here it's 114,000 plus. There's a discrepancy of over 2,600. Is there like a something miss? I don't understand. I don't understand what the discrepancy is.
From the worksheet, I can look at it and give you a call. Give you an email.
Thank you. Okay.
But the money, you know, the money's all there in the bank, independent.
Okay. Okay. It was just different.
Yeah.
I only looked at the road funds, but.
I'll make a proof. I'll look at it and spell the correction. I'll just send it all the commissions an email.
Thank you. Okay.
I hope I have your email before the night's over.
You should.
Yeah, they got them. We'll leave them to you.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
Thank you.
I got a question. What is this AT&T bill for $132.50 for phone operations?
That was the last bill we received from AT&T, and it was out there for a while, and I thought I had to pay it.
What period was it for, and what was it for?
It was for the, remember, we had the phone number one for the city, and we had also phone for, had a charge for the phone and fax. That the mayor, the former mayor, used. And I just held it up for a while.
Not the phone.
It was a phone. It was a phone, fax, and something. I held it up.
Well, the reason why I bring this up is we put the Nextiva system in to do away with those bills on the fax and also the phone over at the C's house. So, again, this is one of those things that I've been bringing up for 3 years. The commission needs to be approving the bills before the full commission. They need to come into the commission each month, and we should be approving them rather than just having the commissioners do it. Also, I noticed on... I've got some bills here, and what I found out was we're paying sales tax, and I don't understand that because
on which one?
It doesn't matter. We should not be paying sales tax on anything on Nextiva and the something else. The water company. That's what it was.
Water company.
Okay. Yeah, we need to be providing these companies with our exemption, and anybody that we're doing business with buying any kind of supplies, the thing is we as the commission members need to have that exemption form with us when we're making a purchase so that we can not be paying extra monies out that the city don't need to be paying. So I wanted to bring that up so that we can all get a copy of that exemption form.
Usually, if any vendor trying to sell something, I just deduct it from that bill.
And I'll disagree with that because I'm looking at the final balance, and I have found this is, this sales tax is based off of all these included. Now, I know we have to pay all those, but the sales tax we don't have to pay.
Right.
And the water bill, when I look at the total water bill, that's the total water bill that we've paid out. So, again, I just want to get that corrected so that the new commission knows that we shouldn't be paying sales tax on any type of purchases that we're doing for the city. Okay? Did everybody hear that okay? I'm sorry I was mumbling into the table because I was looking for stuff. So, if you can't hear at any time, just raise your hand, get my attention, and I'll make sure that we speak up loud enough for everybody here. Alright. While we're on this, we can go ahead and we've got mistakes on the financial report, but if somebody wants to make a motion, they can make a motion. Alright, hearing no motion, we'll move along. There's another thing on that we have to deal with in this segment. And that's a redemption of the road funds. Need you to get that certificate over to First Federal this week.
The one from First Financial?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Is it matures on the 18th today?
It matures tomorrow.
So
that we can get that money transferred out of there before the 10-day maturity date.
Yeah.
Is over.
Did you say you and Commissioner Metcalf were going to handle it before making that transfer?
Yeah, we're gonna get it transferred down to the road funds at Independence Bank, but it has to be redeemed at First Financial before we can get it done. And so they apparently have to have some certificates that somebody's got control of or something.
Not me.
Well, where's the certificates?
They're in the safe deposit box.
Oh, and I got the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where's the bank? Is it a safety deposit box at the
at First Financial on whatever? I won't tell them where it is, but somebody will go by there.
Okay. All right. I know where it's at now. All right.
I'm not sure if they need my signature. Let me know, but I think yours and Tennessee should be sufficient.
I'm not sure.
I'll give Barb a call and see what she says.
Yeah, give Barb a call so I can get this taken care of and get her big bucks down in the road fund down there.
You want an EFT on this one? Like you one?
Yeah, we're gonna wire transfer. So we'll work it out one way, shape, or form or another.
I received a statement from Independence about the new one.
Okay.
We have zero balance.
No, it's not got a zero balance.
The statement I received had a zero balance.
It probably might have had a zero balance because it was for November, because there wasn't any money in November.
How do they have an account with no balance? Don't worry about it.
I set it up before we got the money moved, okay?
All right.
Also want to know about the status of the 2015 audit.
They got everything in it? I just talked to Mary Monday. So she had evidence in it.
And you talked to herself? And I know she left your message today.
Not today.
Yeah, today.
I talked to her Monday and Tuesday.
Well, I talked to her today and she was going to get with you.
Oh, okay.
She wants to have a meeting with us. I sent an email on December 11th that hadn't been answered, and it had a request in there for the commission to resend all the invoices that we received since November 1st, and we haven't received them.
I believe the utility commission, Commissioner Metcalf, those two that we had, right?
And the email said to send it to all commissioners. Okay, that's, and I had a reason for it, so I just wanted to bring that up. All right. Is there anything else? Anybody else got any questions for Mr. Coleman?
No, but I didn't receive that second page. I guess I wasn't CC'd on the email with the second page of the which I looked at first, but I didn't receive the first page of the. I didn't receive any of this. I only received what you handed me tonight. So if there are any more emails, if I could get CC'd on them as well.
You do? Okay. Okay. You didn't get any of the financial stuff?
Not from Mr. Coleman on the email. No, I did not.
If you would, just make sure it's correct. Just send an email to citadel.weatherstonhills@gmail.com. That way, I'll have them all in one place, and I'll have it correctly. I'll send you a copy.
I'll send you a copy of all the email addresses.
You get the Nextiva change over. Nextiva.
Yeah, I got Nextiva. I haven't gotten I haven't gotten the payments moved yet because
it's on the card.
You know. I know it's on the card. Yeah, I know it's. You got to work on that. Okay.
That's all they take is a card.
No, they'll take a automatic. Yeah, they'll take an automatic withdrawal from the bank account.
Did you already ask about the audit? How far behind are we on the audit?
The audits we're right now we're trying to finish up 15, 16. Most of it's finished, but they got to have some information on 15 that so that they can get 14's got an ending balance, but to get to 15's ending balance so they can move to 16 with the material they got, mm-hmm. they have to have an ending balance that is valid for 15, and they need information to validate that ending balance for 15.
What's the holdup?
The information. It's general ledger information and some information that needs to be on the trial balance, from what I understand.
Yeah. So we're behind. We're 3 years behind.
15, 16, 17, plus the financial statement for 2018. I know. Been working on it. I'm right there with you.
I find that a little worrisome. I don't like being.
I do too. So. Anybody that's been in this audience knows that I've been raising Cain about it for 3 years. So, Steve, do you have anything that I don't
do? I have to limit my words because Mayor Stoneman.
It says, stay on point, no stories.
He said, I'm limiting your words, all right, so they have to be important. I want to make a couple comments. First of all, what Millie said, see her up on the podium and what she said.
Yeah, speak up. I can't hear you, Dad.
What Millie said was beautiful. I'm going to get with her to see if I can accommodate her. Estelle comes over, and I'm a Vietnam War veteran. I spent 1970 over there, and she hands me this bluegrass thing where they send GIs up to Washington, D.C., and they're people clap for them. So I notice I'm all excited and says, calling all World War II and Korean War veterans, so they've excluded the Vietnam veterans again. That
made me more happy.
So anyway, thank you, Estelle. I think that's wonderful. I do want to comment on Commissioner Campbell's comments that she had about the money, the finances that was really diplomatically done. And let's see, Linda, Commissioner LaVille didn't like my letter either. I want you to know back then. She didn't like my letter, so I kind of changed with the idea of sending out a second letter. She didn't like that draft. So this letter's going out under my signature, but it is Linda's letter. So if you don't like what's in this letter, I suggest you call Linda.
My email is on the
website. So give these to her.
Don't give them to her.
And you want to get her phone number before you leave. There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, I certainly appreciate the verification letter.
I'm going to
if you like her, it's better. Call me. We don't want
to. I thought the other one was ugly. I hope they kept the ugly.
I want to commend Mayor C. We spent all day in a mediation before the last meeting. It was grueling. We're dealing with Rumpke and their attorney that flew in from Austin. And we had Ann Shake, retired judge. She's a tremendous jurist. And she's a
did you say Mayor C?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Mayor Stone. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's happened. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I've been appointed by the governor, so he's having a hard time.
It was a slip. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I heard you say that. We got the deal done.
So one thing that is not on the agenda is that I had to pay Ann Shake $1,200 for that mediation. So I'm going to ask that the board vote on paying me that $1,200 that I paid the commission or paid the meeting. And then I'm done.
Commissioner DeVille, do you have a question?
Does anybody know where Commissioner DeVille can get some cheap hearing aids? Because I'm having trouble hearing this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they are not cheap.
They're not cheap. Mr. Vesta, they aren't cheap.
I'm going to get one of them things that they got on TV for you.
I think what she's saying is that she honestly didn't understand.
I didn't understand what you were saying.
She can't vote out of her.
Right. She is. Am I the only one you can't hear?
No.
Yeah.
You speak that their voice, don't you?
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm asking that. I'll let the mayor do it. Maybe he can articulate it better than I can.
Well, it's not that I probably could understand what you're saying if I could hear what you were saying.
Well, that's important.
Yeah. And I can't hear what you're saying.
Linda, in your defense, that goes on in a lot of meetings we sit in here and try to figure out what's being said by the commissioners.
Okay. What Steve brought up was, and I told Steve that I wasn't going to make a decision. It was up to the commission to make the decision. During the mediation, we had a judge down there.
Okay. Retired.
Retired. And she was ping-ponging back and forth between Waste Management and City of Worthington Hills.
Okay.
And on, there is a fee for her. And it was $300 an hour.
But it was split, yeah.
But it was split. Anyhow, I also had to sign a non-disclosure form, and I wouldn't agree to that line because I don't make decisions. The commission makes decisions for paying the retired judge for her time down there. What's the bill?
The total bill was
how much is ours?
No, I didn't bring that.
Well, then we can't vote if we don't have a number.
Well, let me.
You'll have to bring it back to January.
No, I'll find the number.
Okay. Come on, Steve. You're doing good, Steve, sitting there.
It was.
I would too. How come it is every time that I ask a question, you've got to go find that phone? Anyhow. And what was it, $1,200?
I'm pulling that number back because it might be higher.
It might be higher.
Retainer fee.
What is she
doing? All right. Well, while he's looking for that, let me tell you what's coming up next month and in the months follow. Okay? In 2019, the new commission will be required. This is an annual thing that's required. You have to do a proper tax ordinance. That'll be where we basically have a first read, which will be early on, probably next month if I can get it done. Okay, and then we also have to do a budget that has to be completed before June 30th, so that, and this all has to work together with a budget, the amount of money that we get for the income taxes, for the not the income taxes, for the property taxes, okay, and the insurance taxes and all the other revenues that we get in, has to balance out with our expenses, projected expenses. So that's coming up next, this early part of the spring. We're also going to look at, and probably have before July, hopefully, rental registration ordinance that I would like to see put into place, a foreclosure registration, and a blight property ordinance. Okay, each one of these have a valuable point. For those who don't know, that you got your little smartphones out, our City of Worthington Hills KY.gov website has a placemat on it now. So it's just basically you can go in www.cityofworthingtonhillsky.gov and you can see what we got out there. It's a single page. It's only temporary, holding the spot, because I noticed Friday we finished up the application last week sometime. And I checked it on Friday, and it was a blank page. So I asked the web people to put us a placard out there. So that's out there. You can bookmark it. It's ready to go. this is also where we're going to be putting these registration forms, so that when we put these ordinances out, these registrations for the rental property and also for the foreclosure registrations, so that the people that own the property that are renting will have to fill these out. It's going to be just like Louisville. And the mortgage companies are going to have to notify us when they've got foreclosed properties. The reason why is we need to know this information so that our protection service, okay, can make sure when these houses are empty that we're taking and watching them to make sure that we're not having vandalism or any kind of dubious activities being done in these facilities, okay? So look for that. The website is going to be much more than what we've had in the past. There's going to be a lot more information on the website, so I wanted to let you all know about that. We're looking to get active. I'll get more into this, but this thing is going to be really in-depth. It's not going to be the you hate to go there site. It's going to be one of those where you're going to want to go back and make sure you know what, you know, you'll be able to find out what's going on in the city, and I'll get further into that when we get further down. Did you find your money amount yet, Steve?
I'm looking.
All right, I'm running out
of interest for a while.
I know. Anyhow, I've talked to Steve about the rental registration and foreclosure registration and the blight ordinance back in September, and I hope he's been doing some work on them, but I haven't checked back with him. So that's coming up. And I know we've had people, and if you got anything you want to add here, we're trying to improve on the property values in Worthington Hills without, being too intrusive on people. Okay, the rental properties are a real problem. We've got people in the city that basically let their properties get run down, and I've asked a number of times, who owns this house, who owns this house, who owns this house, and we don't really get a straight answer. So by having this, we can also control, these houses are all single family homes, and I know for a fact we've got some rental properties that's got multiple people in adult age living in the property, and that right there is a violation of state statute and Metro Health Code. So these are the reasons why we're looking to do this, so that we can basically make it a better place to live, a better community for our family. Okay. So if you keep coming to the meetings, or when we get the website up, the first one that we're trying to get up by the 1st of January is going to be a preliminary website. It's not going to be the full-blown one. It's going to be enough to get it started while they work on our branded one. And I want to just make that pretty clear to everybody. When you first see it, we've already got the color schemes done and the graphic scheme already chosen. So it's just a matter of them filling in the blanks for the time being. And then once we get that up and running, we're gonna massage it even more. So you'll see something that will not be the end product. Have you found it yet, Steve?
I'm trying to find my email. All right. To you.
I talked with IT in a Box today because I had some questions about some things. All right? I talked to one of the, we have an IT company in the office building I'm in, and I was talking about the security. So I had him look at the IT in a Box brochure, and I found out that we've got some stuff. So I called Dave Vins, who's the president, early this morning. What I found out is this is more than just a website company. We have got all kind of benefits with this company that I hadn't even known about before. And this is with the $500 a month fee. What that amounts to, what's also included is, we'll be able to have a person our city staff, our city treasurer and city clerk actually be able to use what they call a shared document. It's in the Microsoft 360, where more than one person can go into a document. If you pull up an Excel spreadsheet, say the city clerk gets a call about a lien or something, then she can call up, talk with the treasurer at the same time. They can both be on this Excel spreadsheet coming up with the answers that need to be given to the people that are calling in. So this is a nice thing about this. Plus, all our documentation will now go into a secure cloud backup system that has all the virus protection and all this intrusive protection type of service or protection. So this is turned out to be really a better deal than I originally thought it was. They will also give us, they have people that will help the city treasurer and city clerk set up their filing system so that we get these files, our city files, protected on this cloud server. And all the work they do won't be on their own personal computer. They will be in this cloud service. So when it comes down to it, when we go looking for something, we're not trying to figure out which PC it's on. Okay, it's all going into a common a file management system that they will help us set up within their secure cloud system. So that's just an overview of what I found out since our last meeting, because there were some questions on what are we paying for. This is a substantial, and it's go out. If you want to see their brochure, you can basically search on IT-NIN-A-box, and they've got a brochure that tells exactly what we have of. We're getting in the service, and it's quite substantial. So, I wanted to let everybody know about that. Are we done?
New business? Is this new business?
Well, this is. I'm still waiting for Steve to get done. Well,
I'm sure he's sure it's $1,200.
We're not voting, Steve. You can bring it the next. You can bring it next month. You say it's $1,200, or you'll eat the rest. Is that what I heard you say?
More than that. I called Roy today, and I can't.
I was trying to eat up time, Commissioner C. You know, I'm trying to move this along. If I wait for him, it'd be like the closed meeting.
I texted in shape.
While you're waiting?
Yeah.
While you're waiting on him, make a note for someone to contact the Kentucky Insurance Commission, Commissioners, whatever they do over there, and see what it takes to get the insurance check going to the lockbox or be paid electronically. Most of them can give it away, but they said the whole paper cost is not coming to the P.O. box. So you can.
Did you talk about that $20,000 where that big check was that we got?
No. Okay. This is the quarterly insurance premiums that they.
Okay, yeah.
Some of the checks are 51 cents and some are, $6,000. So some of the companies have the ability, or most of them have the ability, to make either an electronic deposit or send that paper copy checks to the lockbox. One of the two, whatever you all decide. So that's what you ought to look at.
Okay.
Because they all come in right now, they all come paper. And they are beginning to send out forms to ask the municipals to go electronic.
Okay.
And so you can talk to.
Is it coming? Is the mail? Is these requests coming to the P.O. box?
Okay. The checks do.
The checks? But I'm talking about the communiques. Are they?
Everything goes to P.O. box.
Okay, all right.
So if you can, they can go to a lockbox or deposit electronically, you're a lot better off.
Okay.
You're going to get a few, so you can
okay.
Do as you please.
All right, but they are going to the P.O. box.
Yeah.
Did you find anything yet?
Nothing conclusive, but it's
$1,200. I'm sorry, Steve. We've got to see documentation. Send me an invoice, but it's going to have to be approved by the commission next city meeting. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. What was the URL for the city website again?
I'm just talking about a search. It's it-in-a-box. Just search on that with Google. It's Sophisticated City, but don't ask me how to spell it, okay?
Well, I found that.
Yeah, so this is city.com, okay, and they got a brochure on their website that's it-in-a-box.
I think that's what the website is for us.
The news. City of Worthington Hills, ky.gov.
This is the old one on the agenda.
Yeah,
that's the old one.
The website is the address is wrong.
Did you find it?
Okay. Well, yeah, because what I was searching, or what I found was, I'm guessing that's the old one?
That's the old one.
Okay.
Yeah, if you search on that, just you can type in City of Worthington Hills, ky.gov, and it shows up.
That's the old one.
That's the old one.
The new one should say Mary.
Yeah.
With that in the box, you can give up. Commissioners, they own.
Yeah, they all get their. We will all get our own email addresses with that on the end.
It'll be the URL specific for what?
Right. Yes.
It'll be
www.worthingtonhills.gov.
That's good.
Right.
K-Y.
No, yeah, you got to say Y. You got to put K-Y on it.
City of Worthington Hills, K-Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right, that's it. Okay. So, Steve, bring your invoice to the next meeting, and we'll talk about it. Next. All right, let's see what I got on here. Were you following along when I was talking about the ordinances that we're planning on doing there, Steve?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, okay. You remember our...
Yeah, the ones we talked about today?
No, the ones we talked about today, okay, you probably weren't listening, but I'm talking about... I was just bringing them to what we're going to be doing the first part of next year with the... We're required to do the property tax ordinance and the budget.
Talked about that.
Yeah, and then also... In September, I gave you that information about checking into the rental registration and the foreclosure registration and the blight ordinance.
Yes.
Okay. Because the reason why we need a blight ordinance, because I didn't bring this up before, if we have a blight ordinance, we can actually have a higher tax rate for the blighted property in our ordinances. So whatever a normal property is getting, a blighted property could have a higher amount. So, again, I'm looking at trying to take care of y'all. All right?
Now, the city, you know, has an ordinance, and I thought we were passing an ordinance on registering for the rental property owners to register with the city of Worthington Hills, but then the city of Louisville has one, and I think that they've all registered with the city.
We're still going to do it with the city of Worthington Hills on our website. And the reason being is we don't have direct access for the Louisville ones, and we have some real problems. If you haven't obviously driven around the city, you need to come out and see what's going on out there. All right, I've already covered the old business with the website. Commissioner C brought that up to my attention. All right. I didn't bring my reimbursement for the GOV, so I have to bring that to the next meeting.
Yeah,
I'm going first.
Okay. All right. New business. As is mentioned earlier in the minutes, we've had resignation of the city clerk and the city treasurer. And at this time, what I'm going to do is bring up the nominees that I've went out and talked to I've been searching for treasurers and city clerks for a while. And now I'm making a nomination for both of them, and we'll take it from there. I'm going to nominate that Beverly, or is it Beth?
Beverly.
Beverly Lush be nominated for our new city clerk, and that Daniel or Dan Small?
Dan
Small for our city treasurer. So at this time, if you've got any questions for him that you'd like to bring up or even ask him, that you might be interested before we open it up.
Dan, what is your background in finance?
I have a bachelor's from the University of Alabama. I worked about 5 years at Stanley Tools in Arizona. Worked about 5 years at Courier. And then I'm in private practice, pretty much tax work, I'm in a firm.
I think you're highly qualified.
And he's a city resident.
And he lives in the city, even better.
Thank you for asking questions. Anybody got Bev to ask or Bev? Bev.
Yes.
Give me a little bit about what you did prior to doing what you do now.
I'm retired now.
That's what I know.
My niche in life was sales administrator, supporting salespeople. I'm not a salesperson, but I can support you all day long and give you what you have. So I'm used to working in an office with other people taking care of their needs while they go on and do their thing.
All right. And I understand that you're a proofreader.
Yeah, proofreading comes really easy to me for some reason. Errors just pop out of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's a city resident.
For
39 years.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. So, do I hear a motion Beverly Lush for city clerk?
I make that motion.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to tire you.
That was, they were hired on contractors. They weren't nominated for the positions. There's a difference. They have to be sworn in. All right. So we had a second from Commissioner DeVille. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. On the position of city treasurer,
Dan
Small, thanks. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
All right.
No,
Commissioner Campbell second. Commissioner Metcalf make a motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Unanimous again.
Welcome aboard.
All right, Steve, can we give them the oath of office tonight so we can have them ready for the 1st of January? Is there any objection to that?
You mean the treasurer and the clerk?
Yes. I've got the papers. You don't have to use your little...
All right.
I come prepared.
How do you spell your
name?
We're going to get to that Campbell part.
Campbell, like Campbell
said.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well,
you all are
doing. Who? Stand up. Yeah, that's... I've got the treasurer one, too, so... I've got one for the treasurer, one for the city clerk.
Well, when we get to the office... You say city treasurer, he says city clerk. You know, this is a play, all right?
Okay.
We didn't have a rehearsal. This is the real deal.
Are we doing this at the same time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, repeat after me. I do solemnly swear. That I will support.
Wait a minute. They got to raise their right hand.
Oh, raise their hand.
Okay, let's start over again and do it right.
I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this wonderful Commonwealth
of Kentucky,
so long as I continue a citizen thereof.
So long as I continue a citizen thereof.
And that I will faithfully execute.
I will faithfully execute
to the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
The office of
treasurer.
According to law.
According to law.
according to law.
And I do further solemnly swear.
I do further solemnly swear
that since the adoption of the present Constitution, I, being a citizen of this state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons. Within this state, nor out of it.
Nor
have I sent or accepted.
Nor have I sent or accepted
a challenge to fight a duel.
A challenge to fight a duel
with deadly weapons.
With deadly weapons.
Nor have I acted as a second.
Nor have I acted as a second
in carrying a challenge.
In carrying a challenge.
Nor aided or assisted any person.
Nor aided or assisted any person.
Thus offending.
Thus offending.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you. All right. Now, next on new business.
1879.
That was with. This pertains to the city taking care of the. I have a detailed list as part of that helps me stay in line here. I have talked with Dan Small about what to do with the QuickBooks because we're not in the same household now. We're in two different locations. So he has looked into QuickBooks online and what the cost is. And back in either June or July, our support for QuickBooks ran just under $500. And talking with Mr. Small, the cost to do online QuickBooks, which would include all the support, is a little less than what we're paying for the support on the desktop. So with that, Dan, is there anything you can add to help them with what I'm about to ask?
The biggest thing about QuickBooks Online, as I understand it in our role, is the clerk is supposed to enter all the invoices, like in the QuickBooks, and the treasurer pays them. So in order to keep everything in QuickBooks, since we're not in the same house, QuickBooks Online will allow Beverly to enter, I guess, approved bills. I don't know if you enter, maybe you enter the bills in QuickBooks, then they get approved, and then I would pay them.
Right.
But as long as we both would have access to QuickBooks at the same time, we can actually both be in QuickBooks at the same time. Whereas a desktop version, we would have to be swapping a laptop back and forth or something. It would just be very cumbersome. In the past, when it was on the same household, I don't know how they did it, but at least it was in the same household. So that wasn't an issue, but I just don't see how a desktop version going forward would be feasible. If it we could make it work, it would be very
perfect. That answered your questions. It's sort of like the shared folder that's in the service that we're going to get where they can work at the same time. So what I'm about to ask is come the first of the year, okay, I would like us to be able to basically get Dan Small to get us registered and up and running on the QuickBooks online so that we aren't stumbling around ourselves come around the 15th of it, our city meeting, okay? So do I hear a motion to move to QuickBooks Online?
I'll make that motion to move.
Thank you, Commissioner Babel. Sorry. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Aye. Ayes have it. Okay. Next on my list, let's see. I talked with Dan also, and I talked with Dev on the computers. Right now we have
three iMac computers, which virtual, which operating system on Windows?
Both. We do iOS, and we also do Windows 10.
Windows 10? Okay. Now, this is a problem, because I believe we should have just, the iMacs are stationary, okay? And what I was thinking, and of course I was thinking, it's up to you all right, that I talked with Dan is planning on doing the city work at his office on the payments and stuff, so he was going to just go into the online, since he does the online stuff for other clients, right? And so he would just basically use his own computer there at the office to do the city work on. Deb, I would like to get permission to go out and basically we have an IT person in the building that I work in that can put us together a laptop to where she could have that to move around. Because Deb's been working down at Steve's office, so it would be nice that she had, you know, call come into her, because you know the phone system we can transfer to our cell phones, okay? That way she would be able, if she's down there, to better service the client or the person calling quickly if they're calling in about a lien or a property tax. So rather than buying a computer from the Walmart or the Sears or whatever, get one that we know that an IT person has put together. And like I said, I don't have the price on it right now. I just want the permission to give him the okay to go ahead and give us a quote on getting that laptop built, because there won't be any software on it. It's just basically going to be an entrance point so that she can get up on the web-based system that we're going to have. And that's where they'll be doing their work from. She'll be doing the work from. She can carry it around with them. There won't be any city information on it, okay? That's another good thing, because all her files will be up in the secure server. But it would give her the mobility to be down at Steve's office, and that makes it, if she's down there doing temporary work for him, she would still have a way of doing city business with us if she happens to be there, and there's something that she could do.
I have no problem with that.
I was going to ask if you had a problem with her being in your office working for you and doing city business.
Last time I
was on your dime.
That wouldn't be a conflict. It wouldn't be unethical.
All right. You're okay with me going ahead and getting
the... What I was saying is I would let her come into my office and do city business, and I wouldn't charge overhead. I was being generous with that comment. Okay.
Okay. Somebody got that. All right. Send a bill with a night anyhow. So
I don't know what that gesture is supposed to mean. Can you explain it to me?
He's just joshing. So do I have a motion and approval from the city commission to go ahead and pursue that venture?
I make the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner McCaff.
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? It passed again. Ayes have it. Let's see here. Okay, the next thing we have on here is the academy. It's coming up at the City Officials Academy. We can go ahead and register. I can get the bill set to the city, and everybody that's going to go to the City Officials Academy, they're going to be obligated, if they don't attend, to reimburse the city. Okay? So, this way we can get our city officials train. It's a 3-day training class. The cost is $209. With that $209, they not only get the class and the training, which is I've been taking for 3 years, or three years now, and it's well worth it. Everybody's heard me talk so much about it. The newly elected, all of us, went to the orientation last week. But this is what you get with the academy. And it's a big book. It's got the city official legal handbook. And in it, it has all the breakdown on the statutes and everything that the city needs to know about. This comes with the training. Now, I wanted to bring that up so that you're not thinking we're not getting anything out of it. And anybody that's been here for 3-4 years now knows how much this all helped me, how much the city can benefit from us having trained city officials. Because for so long, we didn't have those type of services provided to the city officials. And what was happening was cities were getting in trouble. So the Kentucky League of Cities put this academy together to try to alleviate the problem of cities getting in trouble doing stuff they weren't supposed to be doing. There was a lot of talk. There was a lot of backroom deals. The open records law went into place in 1980, and they weren't abiding by them. And people were getting in big trouble because they were, like I said, doing backroom deals here and having meetings here and there and everywhere else. So, and they also talk about how each city government official, each city government type is operated, because there's a difference. We're a commission form of government. And I'll bring this up because so many of you, people just recognize a mayor-council form of government, but the difference is that in a mayor-council form of government, the mayor can only vote when there's a tie. And also, the mayor is the executive of the city. He's the top dog, like the president, like the governor. The legislators are...
Wait a minute. That's the opposite of what you told Glenn.
That's because this is a commission.
This is... I'm talking about the mayor-council form of government right now, okay? And in the legislative people are the council people. They're like the council, the Congress, and the General Assembly. We're in a commission form of government. And in a commission form of government, I'm basically just the commissioner that has the mayor title. I get to vote on issues. I get to also make ordinances, just like the commissioners. All the commissioners get to make ordinances. All the commissioners get to enforce their ordinances.
Propose.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. Correct words. Where were you at, Deb? This is, when we vote, I have the right to vote also. I don't have to wait for a tie to break a tie. It's the mayor has 5 basic duties. One of them being to sit up here and talk all night. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other one is, you know, the mayor has to sign contracts. Nobody else can sign contracts except for the mayor. Or in the case that the mayor is not available, the vice mayor, or the mayor pro tem, signs and acts and in the in the position of the mayor. The mayor also gets to, if we have a parade, we get to ride on the float. So if we have dignitaries come to the city, we get to shake their hands and talk big and boast and push our chest out, okay? And the other thing is in the case of a natural disaster, or in the case like we had the tornado, the mayor is the commander-in-chief during that period of time. So that's what the mayor does in the commissioner form of government. Each one of the commissioners has their own area of responsibility, and I don't get to boss them around. I can make suggestions, but they're to have the final say. They work their own department. They have questions, they can come to me. It's not a big deal. But in their position, they make the decisions. So Dennis is in charge. He's the commissioner over public safety and health. So when it comes to, you know, telling Officer Mason there, or Detective Mason, you know, what he wants, you know, what we need to do for a schedule, it's up to Commissioner Metcalf. Same thing with Commissioner C right now. She's over the property maintenance. Whatever she decides that needs to get done, she tells our property maintenance crew. Commissioner Beville, I have a hard time today. She is right now the utilities commissioner. So when it comes to having, you know, you got issues with the trash, she's the one that handles those. And then Commissioner Campbell, she's in charge of the road maintenance right now. So when it snows between now and the 15th of January, if you got a complaint, take it to her, okay? Because in January, once we take over, once a new commission goes into place, the new commission actually goes into place January 1st. The reason why we're on here now is because we've had positions that were resigned, and also we lost the mayor, and the movement happened that opened up these positions. So in January, we will again, Commissioner Campbell, Commissioner Beville, and Commissioner Metcalf may change swap positions. As it is right now, we don't have the fourth commissioner right now because that commissioner hasn't come on yet, and that position doesn't actually become vacant until January 1st. So I just wanted to help explain what the difference between a commission form of government is and a mayor council form of government, because that's been one of those areas even I didn't know until 4 years ago what the difference was. And that's a part of the stuff that we were taught in these orientations and in this academy. It goes really in depth. When you walk out of there, your head's spinning for about 6 months while you try to put everything together. But we're responsible for the running of the city, okay? The five of us together. And like I said, they handle their parts of the city. So with that said, do I hear a motion to authorize me to enroll the people that are wanting to go to the academy and have the city get billed for it? This class is January 16th, 17th, and 18th. So 3 days in Lexington at the Embassy Suites.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? All right. The ayes have it again. Next thing on the agenda is there's a situation that we need to take care of. It has to do with the first quarter tax filings. It's come to my attention that there was some problem with the initial tax filing or the original tax filing for the first quarter of 2018. And as it is right now, if we don't take care of it before the W-2s go out, it's going to cost the city even more. And what this amounts to is we have the federal payroll tax filing, the state tax filing, and the local revenue tax filings are all incorrect. And for us to correct that right now, because I went to the Heritage people, and that cost is $250 for the administration fee and the taxes that are the monies for the taxes that are due, and this is just the taxes. This ain't going to be for any penalties and extra interest that we might incur, okay, if the tax and organizations come back on us. The current cost is $373.48. And I'll hand this information out. if you
that's inclusive. That's all the taxes that we owe.
That's the taxes and administration fee. Like I said, that's all that's on there right now. But to get this started, as I talked to them, get this started. They are sitting waiting to get the approval. I wasn't going to make the approval on this until I talked to the commission, because the mayor doesn't make decisions. The mayor just brings these things to their attention. So right now we have the total that's due to go out at
$373.48. And you
can
still be hit with penalties.
Yeah, we can still be hit with penalties and interest.
Why weren't they being corrected to begin with? So we have to pay all this stuff.
It's a good question. I wish I had an answer.
I mean, why?
But the party that did this is not available. Okay. If anybody's interested, the fact is there was less salary taken out than what was supposed to be. Our salaries are ordained, and no matter what, we are required to be paid those monies in one way, shape, or form or another, and we cannot decrease our pay for any reason, period.
Right.
Okay, that's statute. That has nothing to do with anything else. It's statute. Unfortunately, there was things done that was improper, and I'm trying to correct this problem now versus wait until the W-2s go out, because when the W-2s go out and this isn't corrected, we got a problem. Because it's going to be more expensive, and the city will have already not only had a problem with the first quarter payroll tax documentation, but now we'll have the end of year documentation for the W-2s and the W-3 also. And there's one other form that goes out that has these amounts on. If they're not right, it's not only the first quarter payroll, it's everything that we filed with the feds and the state and in the local government. So that is why I'm bringing this up right now.
Well, let's go ahead and take care of it.
Absolutely.
So I make a motion that we go ahead and pay the $373.48.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. So I hear a second from Commissioner Beville. Beville. I'll get it. Hey, it's my senses, man. I'm sorry. All right.
Just so you know,
for all those in favor, all those in favor say aye. All opposed? It's done. Now there is a matter of getting return the expense, and that I want to make a motion that Steve handles that.
This all stems from, it was in early 2015.
No. Oh. It's 18. It happened this year,
okay,
Steve.
All right, I'm going back too far.
Yeah, you're going back too far. We ain't been there yet. I'm still waiting for that.
There were some. As Mayor pointed out, we are all employees. We are W-2 employees. We're not independent contractors that receive 1099s. They get the 1099, they file that as income in the return, and they pay taxes that way. So Mayor C, I think on one occasion for both himself and Cassandra, called up Homestead and said, Don't pay us in cash, but don't make part of it a 1099 and make part of it a W-2. And that was improper. So this is what we're talking about here. I do not believe that Cassandra had any knowledge about that whatsoever. Okay. But I think...
Well, I know you do. I didn't even get the check. Just talk about what you know. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm just telling you what I know.
I'm talking about that remark.
Okay, all right. So what Bob did is I got... Homestead knew that I was able to call them up. I had our numbers that I could call them up, and they would give me information. So I called them up and vetted Bob, and Bob was able to then go go directly to him because he's the new mayor. And Mayor C also had that number, and he could call up and talk to him about payroll and things that were going on. So, you know, a good friend of mine is a criminal defense lawyer. You ask him what happened. He says, I don't know. I wasn't there, okay? I have reason to believe that this was done because the people at Homestead told me that it happened, and that I think I became aware of it when it did happen, because I think Bob Storm raised that issue. So, but this number that is being thrown out here, the 373.48, that is a total of what taxes should have been withdrawn, and also the cost to remedy that situation, to correct the W-2s for Cassandra and the payroll records for Cassandra and Glenn, so that when they go out at the end of the year, they are consistent with there being no cash being paid. So what I think that Mayor Storm is saying here, okay, you all unanimously voted that the city pay that number. So the next question I think that Mayor Storm has raised is, how does the city get paid back that money? Now, I do remember at a meeting Mayor C saying that he took care of those taxes when he filed the tax return. Well, this is 18, right?
Yeah, this is 18. This is spring.
Those taxes wouldn't have been filed yet. Going back to the earlier time, then he said that they were paid. So, you know, I don't know how you do that. If Cassandra were to say that, Bob sent me an email about this, and I think Cassandra, did you get my email?
No.
Okay. Well, I sent Cassandra an email saying this is going to be brought up at the meeting. So what I think Bob wants to happen, or Mayor Stoner wants to happen, is that Cassandra pay this $373.48 to make the city whole. Now, I'm a lawyer for the city, and I like being a lawyer for the city. But as to the portion, did they apportion the amount that would be attributable, Mayor, to Glenn, and what amount would be attributable to Cassandra?
I have a breakdown, but it's totally, I mean, it breaks down per person, but it's hard to disseminate, okay? They've got just the total amount of taxes due and the administration to process this request.
Well, I think you could probably do it by percentages. You could determine what amount was paid to Glenn, what amount was paid to Sonia, and then take that percentage. So you take the whole divided into what Cassandra got, take the whole divided into what Glenn got, and then that you could apportion, you could figure out what the amount each owes, extensively owes, and then you could assign that percentage to the administrative fee to make this correct. Now, I think that's what needs to be done. I think that any claim, I do a lot of law, I do a lot of areas of law, I think for you to collect anything from Glenn, you'd have to file a claim against the estate. Now, I don't know, typically when you're married, you have everything in ownership like or, a banking account or, car or, so that when someone dies, all of the assets immediately upon death, just like real property that is held with joint tenancy with right of survivorship, goes immediately upon that first spouse's death to the other spouse. So typically, if that is the way someone sets up their estate and holds their assets, the only time that an estate action is filed is when the second spouse dies. So I don't think that I have no knowledge at all whether anybody's filed an estate action for Glenn, but if there was an estate action filed for Glenn, because possibly the deceased didn't own everything with that or, so then the claim against Glenn would have to be filed, a proof of claim against his estate. If there's no estate action filed, then I think that money's gone. As to Cassandra, whatever proportion, whatever that dollar amount turns out to be for her, then you would have to, if she didn't voluntarily pay it, I think you'd have to file probably a small claims action. But what she would say is that she had no knowledge about this. I do know that in talking to Glenn over the years, and he handled all the finances. And when this was raised the first time, I think part of the, it was part of this, the first one, part of the ethics thing?
No.
Okay.
Not on this one. All right. On the first time that I found this, and that caused it, is what caused the monies and the ethics complaint fine was how this all originated.
It was a fine.
Right.
That's right. It was the fine. There were five charges brought. The ethics, good ethics committee, three wonderful people found one fault, and then they assessed fines. And then Glenn paid those fines by doing what he did with Homestead. It wasn't...
Let me add this. What he paid the fine for, or what he got fined for, was exactly the same thing as what happened with this. They did not run their checks through the payroll company, and that's what they got the fine for. And this was repeated a second time in a different manner by basically taking, not receiving the money, just leaving it in the city's coffers. Okay. The problem is when you do that, the city as an employer is required to pay employer contributions on payroll. And it doesn't matter what amount it is, the city's obligated to claim that amount, period, whether it's received or in kind. In this case, he didn't receive it, but it was used as he had received it. So there's dollars that were supposed to be paid by the city for Medicare, Social Security. Those are employer-required contribution items. Their own personal withholdings would have been decreased by the amount of money for both state, federal, and also local personal tax. And this between the employer contributions amount and the amounts that are owed to the state and the feds and the local amounts to $123.48, and that's on $660 of unreceived salaries. There's 500 unreceived by mayor C and 160 unreceived by commissioner C. And those amounts are now a problem because I know about it. Everybody that was in this room for a while knew about it because it you have to be questioned. And it needs to be addressed before the end of the year because they will start working on W-2s on December 31st. The whole thing that I'm trying to get here now is get the city whole. Get the retribution on the amounts.
How much do I owe?
Come out.
$373.48.
Who does the check have to be made payable to?
They will take it out of our checking account.
I want to pay it. I just want to know who to write the check to.
You can't pay it. They take it out of the checking account.
Out of what checking account?
They take it out of the payroll.
Oh.
They take it out of our checking account.
Well, then why don't I just write the check to the checking account?
Well, you can do that if you want to do that.
Let's just stop this. I'll write the check.
Can I
say
something?
Okay.
I'll write it.
What'd you say?
I didn't
understand what's going on.
It's all
over. I don't either.
Cassandra had no idea what happened, I don't think. But I'm going to write the check. I'll put it in
your
phone.
You don't think? I didn't even get a check, Steve. All these years, I never got a freaking check. Now that's between me and my husband.
I know that.
And my poor son over listening to it.
All right, so I'm writing the check. That's it.
Okay. Commissioner Verdun?
Yes. And you all may not agree with me on this, but I'm going to say it. It's $373.48. I think it's tacky that we're trying to recover it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And shame on us
if we're going to go and try to collect $353.48.
I'll pay it. Linda, I think that's great.
Yeah, I don't think it's shame on anybody. I think Bob is doing his job as mayor to do the city, but I also agree 100% with you in respect to the service that Cassandra and Glenn mm-hmm. gave the city. We're talking $300. If there are penalties, it's a percentage of the total amount.
It needs to be ended. It really
does. It won't
be
penalties if we
can. No, I think
right.
It really
no, does. That's not true. There is penalties growing by the day from the first quarter.
And I hope somebody don't hang
but here's my question, Robert. If I write this check, that's it's we're clear, right?
No. We still are subject to penalties and interest based off the amount.
But who's
Dan, are we not subject to penalties and interest from the first quarter?
Sorry, Christopher.
Chances are you'll probably get a penalty from the city of Louisville, which you cannot abate because they don't abate anything. I would be willing to bet that any penalties from the federal or the state you can get abated. It's just a simple letter saying, hey, we're sorry, we messed up. Because what you're doing is you're paying, you're filing and paying late.
Right.
So there will be potential penalties and interest. They may not abate the interest, but the interest on
I'll pay whatever the fee
is. The tax is only $136.
No, $123.48.
$123. So interest on that is going to be minimal.
Right.
And going forward, I'll pay it. I just need some. I'll write this.
All right.
Forward, whatever the numbers are, just let me know.
All right. It's fine.
All right. We'll move forward.
Betty, here's my report.
All right. Next is the Christmas decorating contest.
Oh my goodness, I love Christmas.
By the way, before I forget, if you all could send me your email addresses and your phone numbers, then I have you.
I'm
going
to get my phone number.
Okay, all right. Then I'm giving you mine. I won't call you. Call
I'll
me.
Be kidding.
Same?
Okay.
My email address is Steve, Linda has it, at, the letter S is in Steve, the letter P is in Paul, the letter C is in Charlie, law.net, Steve at
stclaw.net. I'll email you my
phone. You guys, my phone number is 582-2581.
Okay.
And if it's a real emergency, then you can call me on a cell, which is 797-2581.
Mm-hmm.
Same last 4 digits.
Okay. I'll email
I won't call you, Linda. You can just call me.
All right. Are we moving along here?
Christmas decorations.
Christmas decorations.
Let's lighten it up.
Right.
Come on.
All right. Did everybody get the list?
Yes, but I was planning, I was hoping I'd have another one to kind of pare it down because I have several down here.
Well, I have several down too. Okay. You got yours, Dennis? Or is it just down to me and Carol?
No,
oh, okay. Well, he types his up. Ain't he so cool?
Mm.
All right.
Who has...
All right. Out of you all, which...
Can you tell me and let me look, because I'm the only person that didn't
it
go...
It doesn't matter. We got a whole bunch.
Okay. I do want to make it... It was really fun to drive around the city and look. It looks nice. And I'm going to give a kudos out to Bays End Court. Because that place was lit up.
Yeah.
And the rest of the city, and I don't mean to exclude anybody, but when you went down that little court, I was fond of
it. Yeah, they took over Ardwing. Ardwing men usually took peace, but Ardwing was a little sleepy issue.
By the way, stand over to Trey Condominium.
We went over to Trey. You can ask Sylvia.
You were there. Y'all plugged your lights in, and our lights.
All right. Who was your favorite, Carol?
Wow.
I got two. I mean, maybe.
I've got some. but then I didn't. It was hard to pick one on Bayesian Court. Like, who's my one of my favorite? Gosh, let me think. I've got five on Bayesian Court listed, so I can't. I didn't.
Well, I've got two. So, pick you. How many you got on Bayesian Court? Which one you got?
4404.
You've got
4404.
Okay.
Yes, I've got
4404. I have 4404. Oh, okay. That was my favorite.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's 4404 over there?
Not me, unfortunately.
Well, sorry.
Okay. All right, so.
Oh, you're 4404.
Hey, that's a new on Lorraine. No. He lives on Lorraine at the very end. It was darker than heck down there. Okay?
The candle in the window.
Okay, so 4404. Carol, Dennis, and I all have 4404, and I have to agree that was an awesome display.
That was the most prettiest one.
Okay. All right. So we have 4404 as the first one. 4404.
Bayesian
Court.
By the time we get the list, all the Christmas lights are down, so I'm going to write it down. So
all
right. Next year we'll all
be. Well, we're going to have them on the website as soon as we get it up. All right. All right. What'd you have for second, Dennis?
I think 4507 Mecklenburg is
Mecklenburg. Yeah.
4507?
I've got nine.
It's nine. Is that the one with all the blowing?
You're right.
You're
right.
That's 4509.
Okay, 4509.
That was on my list also.
And I scarred that one too. Okay.
Okay. 4509 is second. Mecklenburg.
Anybody here or there?
Does my house qualify?
We didn't make it. We didn't make it there. All right. Let's see, the last one, and let me bring this up. All right, let me put one in here. Does anybody have
11907
Taswell? I saw that Charlie Brown tree in the back. Uh, 4611 Lubenberg.
Yes, and I've started because I didn't know if it was on Halifax. I went by today to make sure it was on Northumberland. Well, Lunenburg. Okay.
You got 4611 Lunenburg.
4611, okay.
Lunenburg Drive.
All right, Lunenburg Drive.
Is that on your list then?
Lunenburg Drive. And I got a star on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what about...
I had one on Jonelle Court, 12207.
Oh, I got that one.
Oh, we got.
But it went to. It was on the bottom of my list. It's not even
stars. Okay.
Did anybody have anything over on in the Pacelli area? Did you get anything?
I had one of them, so.
Cassandra?
No, I didn't get to do it.
Okay. Did anybody go over there in the Pacelli? I know you know where Pacelli's at.
I did not go.
Okay. Oh, well, whatever. I'm not gonna. What about, I got another one on Bayesian Court. I had three on Bayesian Court. And the other one that I really liked was 4405.
I have that one too.
That was nice too.
That's the one that's up in the end of the circle. You don't have that. What do you got on yours, Dennis?
Well, I had 12004 Bay Run Drive and 4002 Pacelli.
I had 12004 Bay Run.
I didn't have anything on Bay Run. Let's see if we got anybody else. What about 4003 Northumberland? It's right up the street where the ambulance was the other night.
Yeah.
No, nothing on there. Anybody got anything on Arthur Wayne?
Yes, I had an ROI.
What do you got left over there, Dennis?
I had 4309
ROI. I went through and only picked about 5 to bring.
See, I was going to pare this down. I was going to go one more night and kind of pare it down.
Okay. Does anybody have 4603 Pulaski?
No. 4603
Pulaski.
No,
that's not me.
Nope.
No.
All right, so we're down to, what do you got over there? On, you got something on Middlesex? Or you got that Bay Run
Drive?
No, I got
Bay Run Drive.
Where was that at on Bay Run Drive?
I can't remember now.
What's the address again?
12004.
Oh.
Yeah,
that, ain't that your house?
12-0-0.
You won last year, didn't you? Oh, it wasn't last year?
12-0-0. Several years.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I did not know, and I did not know that either.
That's why I'm sitting on here all quiet.
That's all right. I know that it was good, but I thought you split the... split it last year. Is that some freaking dang
it? It says pay too.
Oh, it is 1200. It says pay. I got to pay. At least I'm only going to pay for something to pay. Yeah, I thought it was last year on one, but it was the year before or the year before that? Yeah, because we split. It was split with you all in the neighbor.
I got third.
Oh, you got third? Okay. Well, I'm
on the list.
You were on the list.
Okay. I'm not on one, but you're on the list.
All right. Well, that was my choice also, but here again is I didn't put it down because I thought she won last year, and you can't win two times in a row. So.
So Dennis and I both had it, and then you.
I didn't put it down because didn't I
yeah.
say that?
Yeah, you said.
Sylvia was riding around in the car with me because I wanted to make sure she saw the lights. So. All right, so it's what's that address again? 12004?
12004.
All right, 12004 is third place.
12004 what?
Bay Run Drive. Who?
4611.
No,
that was just up for discussion.
That was up for discussion. We only had two. I was looking for three, and I. The only reason I didn't, like I said, the only reason I didn't put down that one is I thought they won last year, so it's been that long. So
time flies.
I guess. So that's it. First place, we got 4404 Bays End Court. Second place is 4509 Mecklenburg. And third place is 12004 Bay Run Drive. Congratulations. We'll be posted on our website as soon as. Hopefully it'll be up the first of the year. Huh? Yeah, they get a prize. First place gets $100, second place gets $75, and third gets $50.
Fourth place gets $200.
Fourth place gets recognition, that's it. And I have a list of recognizable. Anybody that isn't win, they get recognized and thanked. For going to the trouble of putting their lights up. So keep your list.
Really
all right. One of the things that I want to bring up before we get the commissioner's report, because I want to try and get these dates for the first of the, for the website so we can get these up. The yard sale dates for 2019. I want to get your okay on these, okay? We normally have it the third Saturday of May for the spring and the third Saturday in September for the fall. And that is the third Saturday in May is the 18th and the second and third Saturday in September is the 21st.
Okay, roll up for September.
September, what was that last one?
September 21st.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we all okay with that? All right.
Neither of those months have five Saturdays, so we're good.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet. Okay.
I know.
All right. So, do I hear a motion to have the yard sale that day on the 18th of May and the 21st of September?
Make motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, that passes. May 18th for the spring and September 21st for the fall. New thing that I thought about, and this has come up in my last thought. This is just something to think about, okay? Having a month of April as Woodland Hill Beautification, where we basically, we're hoping to get a voluntary group and we can put this together. But I want to bring this up so we can talk about it later. We don't have to vote on it this month, but I want to talk about it. I want us to think about this over the next 30 days or till the 15th. Okay. Having it, we've talked about the a voluntary group that we put together like they got and clean up the city. So keep that in mind. I'm looking at April, and the reason why I'm looking at April is Thunder is the 13th. 14th is Palm Sunday. Easter is the 21st, and Derby's May 2nd or May 4th. So by having, you know, trying to spruce up the stuff, you know, put on a good face for the spring. So just want to bring that up. And on the website, are you okay with promoting some kind of group to volunteer and get all this organized? So
sure.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, we're up to the commissioner's report. So we'll start with Commissioner C with property maintenance.
Contractor did the limb. Unfortunately, I cannot see my report at five different times. He had general cleanup. 4 times he did tree removal. A lot of it was due to the limbs, broken down trees. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was all the ice.
Yeah. Did they, Evergreen, I got it on the report that Evergreen did do the work on the 30th?
Yeah, they said they were going to come
back. Okay. All right. That was that date somebody asked about my internet.
Well, they're not
going to
use the back flow valve.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner C. Commissioner Metcalf, Public Safety and Health.
Called MSD about drainage to be cleaned out off Lindenburg Drive. Attended a meeting at Independence Bank with Mayor Bob Stone. Attended a meeting with Mayor Bob Stone and Tate Mason to talk about security. Issued 3 parking permits, drove City of Jones, Christmas Light, and attended KLC officials.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Commissioner Beville, how about utilities?
Well, the street light at the corner of Ludenburg and Northumberland was leaning really bad. And so LG&E came out and fixed that. And then the 3 street lights at the Westport Road entrance was out, and they... at first said it would be 2 days before they could get it fixed, but they came out. When they came out and straightened the pole, they fixed those lights as well. That's all I have to report.
Well, thank you.
Linda, can you question LG&E why they are out so much?
Are the power is out
there at the entrance?
Oh, I certainly can ask.
Are you talking about the one I can sign?
Yes.
The signs isn't their responsibility.
No.
Are you talking about the street lights?
Oh, the
street lights. Every time you turn the wind around.
We've questioned them about that for years, many years.
Is there a switch down there or something?
I can certainly
know.
I'm
just like the rest of them.
What was the name of the
city?
Edwards Willows. Lindbergh and Northumberland. Northumberland. They actually replaced those, Steve, several years ago. When Glenn was the... what's the name? They replaced those. The light pole. Okay. We got one more commissioner report. Commissioner Campbell. Road maintenance?
It hasn't snowed yet, so I've been good, okay? But I did drive around the city, and I did not see any potholes. The roads look good.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. All right. Now that we've sat through this 1 hour and 14 minutes, or 2 hours and 14 minutes meeting, is there anybody that's got any questions now that they would like to answer? And Steve, you don't... Oh, wait a minute. Steve wants me, before we leave, okay, Steve produced his invoice. All right, the invoice, again, is for the arbitration mediation retired judge charged, I think it was $300, yeah, $300 an hour, and we paid 4 hours of the 8 hours. Now, I can attest that he called me at 12 noon, okay, and says, I need you to get down here in a suit as quickly as you can, okay? This was the day after I got appointed, by the way. And I got down there, and like I said, I sat there and listened for 3 hours, so I can attest that they were down there from, I guess it was 9 o'clock? At 9 o'clock, and they were down there till something like, I don't know, 4 or 5 o'clock. I hated leaving downtown at that time, so.
The other side paid half of that, so. It's
yeah, right.
That's the mediation agreement we're going to win.
So pay the bill? Okay.
Yeah. So do I hear a motion to okay paying this $1,200 bill?
Yes, I will make
Commissioner Campbell, well, thank you for the motion. No, the $1,200 is our half.
It's our half. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so $1,200 is our half. So I've got a motion from Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Passes unanimous.
Who cares? I'm going to buy the cookies. One other thing, we're getting on the snow contract. Greenfield's not here.
No, he's not here.
He sent me a really long contract, and I looked at it, and I X'd out about three-fourths of it because he had us indemnifying them, okay? The indemnification runs the other way. He indemnifies us. So I crossed it out. I sent it to Mayor Stoneham. He said, go with it. So I sent it to him saying this is what we have to go with, or we can simplify it further. So the understanding is that, and I'll talk to him tomorrow, and we'll probably get a sign. He's already signed it, but I exited out. So we really rejected his offer, so we made an offer, and it's called a counter offer. But he understands that if it snows before the contract's signed, that he will perform pursuant to his proposal. The proposal has the cost for everything, so it's just taking a while to do that. And I will say that he's got a wonderful clerk, and I think, and I've talked to Dan too. He came in the office a couple times. We were going through a lot of this tax stuff, and he did confident. Deb was at my office for a couple weeks, and she took over. So they're very good.
Is there any questions from the audience that, if you sat through this meeting, that you might have, that you would like to have an answer before you leave tonight? That's just bubbling over to be asked.
Yeah, have we straightened out Rumpke on picking up yard waste?
I don't have an answer for that.
I know.
If anybody has a problem with
mine. Once in less than a month, mine's been sitting out there.
They've picked mine up.
Okay.
And I've had a lot.
All right.
I don't want to get into this tonight, but I hope that one of the things that the commissioners are going to do is look at the parking issues in the city and parking permits for, you know, it's just really not realistic to expect everybody who has company to request a parking permit.
I agree.
You know, people drop in unexpectedly. You know,
you talking about for the holidays?
It's just a demolition.
Just like when Mayor C passed away, we had a very good friend, his husband dropped dead last Friday. There were cars all over the place. And if where she lives has the same parking ordinance and all those people got tickets, that's just irresponsible.
They got tickets?
No, I say if they did, did in here.
Okay.
I don't care what the difference
is. No, you're saying that
when you see a huge amount of cars and there's not a permit, you have to know if you haven't seen cars there a lot. You have to know something is wrong.
Well, and I think it has to be common sense.
Okay.
And I know that.
And we're not using our common sense.
Here's the thing you need to know also. It's impossible to park on the street on the cul-de-sacs. Because the fire trucks are 8.5 feet wide.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
5 feet. Yep. Being 8.5 feet wide and a car's what, 6 feet? The cul-de-sacs are only 11 to 12 feet wide. Okay? Mm-hmm. To safely turn left at any kind of speed to try and save a house, I mean, they're all going to burn down if it gets. But the fact is it's a safety hazard to the fire people. Okay? It may not be an issue on Northumberland or on Halifax. Ludenburg's even getting questionable because Ludenburg is in some spots. It's 16 or 18 feet wide, so we're pushing the limits there. So again, you have to take into consideration what street we're talking about.
Well, if people park on their yards if they're trying to come in the
As long as they're not wet. Personally, I don't care. Okay, it's when they park on their yards and it's wet, slushy, or whatever, they rent that yard out. What do you got? You got a property devaluation. Okay, and I think Mercy had a valid point. Okay, I am not going to argue that. But when it comes to the cul-de-sacs, the older cul-de-sacs are not wide enough to be parking on the thoroughfares. Now I know they want to park up in them. Cul-de-sac circles. The problem when they do that is then when they got to get out, or anybody's got to get out, we're having a problem making that circle on some of these cul-de-sacs that are real small.
Right.
So, again, those that live on the cul-de-sacs, you're kind of in a bind because there's nothing we can do as far as for safety reasons. There can't be any parking on the cul-de-sac streets. It's just a bad practice. Those that own a phone that rings, I own now. So, so I want to bring that up. I don't have a problem with right now with the holidays, because we talked to a detective Tate there, and we had a long sit down. I told him and Dennis told him, let's be reasonable with the parking. You know, if it's the holidays, just forget about it. We aren't chasing down the buses no more either. So we're not spending what kind of money we're spending the buses, okay? We're more concerned about the security of the people. So there's more patrols at night now. Okay?
We don't have to get into it now, but I hope that the commissioner will...
Right. So is there anything else that you all would like to discuss? Because it's now 9:25 and I will happily answer the meeting to close. Yes, sir.
I'd like to say something real quick. My name is Todd Akers. I'm with Louisville Metro Police, just as Detective Mason. I live in the city. This is my first time coming to a city council meeting. And
commission.
While I've heard about the tree limbs, I understand that's a problem. I've heard about the parking. I understand that's a problem. However, ladies and gentlemen, there is a bigger problem when I come in and out of the city that there's for sale signs left and right at houses in our city. People are leaving our city left and right because of other criminal activity that's going on. I don't care who's parking in the grass. Don't care who's parking in the middle of the street. I don't care if your tree limbs are over Rumpke's trucks, waste management, or whoever's. Okay? What I want, and I encourage everyone, if you see, and it's corny, and I know it's been plastered all over the news and everything else, if you see something, say something. Okay? I've talked with Mayor Stoneham at length over the criminal activity that's going on in our city. There's car break-ins left and right. There's vandalisms. There's break-ins to the vacant houses. and this is what's driving our people to leave our city. Okay? I should not have to have 8 cameras around my house to watch to see what's going on. And if anybody else is in this room, I'm sure you've got the same thing going on, or if not, you probably need to. Okay? Detective Mason, I'm impressed with him, because, and that's not just because he's a fellow officer, but he has actually, I've noticed his team on camera. They are watching. They are doing a good job. I hate to discredit Meadowvale PD, but they're doing a whole lot more than what Meadowvale did. And they are watching. They're taking notes, taking addresses, the whole 9 yards. So like I say, please, we're trying to work to try and make this city a little bit better. I do not police my front yard. I try my darndest not to police my front yard. Sometimes I have to. It's inevitable. But I appreciate everyone. If you would please talk to your neighbors. Tell everyone. If you see something, call the police. I know there's been instances where LMPD has taken hours to respond. You've got to understand the prioritization of the runs in the city. Certain runs get, if it's a report run, he gets downgraded. You'll get an officer when you get an officer. It's the nature of the beast. Okay. However, that being said, if it's been an hour or two, there's, you know, we're not the only game in town. Call the sheriff's office. If you have to, call the Kentucky State Police. If you're not getting a response that you need from us, call one of those other agencies. But please, by all means, documentation, documentation, documentation. If we can't establish a trail, there's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that Detective Mason can do. There's nothing that LMPD can do. There's nothing that the sheriff's office can do. There's nothing the state police can do. We have to have a paper trail. We have to know what's going on. If you see something, please, by all means, call somebody. That's all I've got.
Okay. And if there's suspicious activity going on in a particular house or particular houses, if you can give me those addresses, I can find out if they're...
You're talking about nuisance abatement?
Well, yeah, but also, if you give me 5 houses and 4, I can contact the owners if the owners are not living there, if they are tenants. I write a letter to the owner saying there's suspicious activity. If they're making meth, your house is going to come down. So they get scared because they're going to lose their property value.
Right.
A meth house is, I mean, you can't sell
it. I understand that.
So I want to put a scare in the owners if they're tenants that are causing the problem.
Right. The problem with doing that is when you alert the owner, you alert the criminal.
Right. So, and on that, like I say, I don't police the front yard.
Right.
I keep my wash my hands.
You don't police the front yard.
For a police officer to have to enforce the law in front of his own home, that puts me in a predicament. I do not want to be enforcing law in the city, because that's why we've got Detective Mason.
Right.
And we've got the sheriff's office. We've got state police. And all these other folks that we can use. I should not have to go out and start enforcing law in the city and acting on a neighbor where that's going to cause animosity or cause my house to burn down or tires slashed on my patrol car or whatever. So that's why I defer anyone, like I say, don't call me. Do not go my door. You know where I'm at. Do not go my door. Contact either Mayor Stoneham, and he can get in touch with Detective Mason. And like I say,
public safety. Who does? Going to be a public safety.
I've talked to him several times.
Dennis.
So we'll get a hold of Dennis, and then we can work it out from there. But like I say, don't call me. But by all means, please say something, because we're trying to establish something.
Okay. One more thing. Let me say one more thing. When you call the police and they do end up showing up, they have to give you a police report number. It's very important. Pay attention, Steph. It's very important that you get that police report number and then follow up and get a police report sent to you, because they're having a problem with that.
On that, if it's something that is not exactly deemable as a report, you can request a CAD number, CAD number. That shows that the officer was dispatched to the location and either cleared no report or clear unfounded.
but at least it documents that the officer was dispatched, the call was received, it was dispatched when the officer arrived, when they departed, when the run was cleared. A lot of things may not necessitate a report number or report in general. Now, if it's like a burglary or criminal mischief to a vehicle or something like that, yeah, you're going to get a report because there's you know, that's general. But if it's, you know, like, well, they broke in the house, that, well, they broke the window out, but really, I can replace the window, it's cheap, no, don't worry about it. A lot of times, officers will clear with no report, but make sure you get the CAD number. Can I have the CAD number for this run? That way it establishes, like I say, and it's a paper trail. It establishes the number of runs that's going on in the city, which could substantiate things later on down the road and portrayal to the, like I say, the Zillow. If anybody's been on Zillow, punch your address in on Zillow and see what's going on. It's kind of scary what within a 10-mile radius of your house, what's going on. So that being said, like I say, if you don't get a report number, by all means, ask for a CAD number. And regardless, whatever the officer's name is, whoever the officer is, be sure you get a CAD number. If you're calling the police, ask them for a CAD number when they show up. That way you've got one of the two that shows a paper trail that someone was there and that you had documented what had happened.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
I have one thing, sorry. One of the things that several of my units did while I was in the military was at the end of the weekend, part of the safety brief was called a lottery, which is basically, you know, something of a police report, but a very short summary of different things that happened and the penalties that came with that. I didn't give out names or anything, but it just showed what happened. Would it be possible to get a report of the different runs that were taken out, just so that we as the city can know, okay, this was addressed, this was addressed, this was addressed.
The problem with that would be speech. Do you want to do it?
So, Dennis, this new administration has said, every month there's a summary of what was done, and then each day an officer's in the neighborhood, there's a detailed list of what they did. So on the 5th, you know, parking ticket, someone was cited for possession of marijuana, IPL, which is code and regulations, there was 3 cases open this month. So this is emailed to the commissioner each month. So I don't know if that's something that would go on the website, or you would just request that from him and he could just forward you the email that I send to him monthly. Mm-hmm. But that breaks everything down to as much detail as you want. Okay.
Would it be possible to share that in the meetings? At least say, hey, this was done, this was addressed.
I think they do it on the report. Don't they?
On our report, we'll read
it. It's on the report.
I just took all the salary of his hands to the commissioner. Every month, we'll read off the ones that they had. I'm going to pick a couple of people to pull it over.
Is that something to put on the website?
Yeah, it's all public record.
Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Rice, right?
I'm sorry.
Mrs. Rice?
Car.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know that the district, City of Louisville, their Metro Council members, they actually have something like that. They get it from the police department and they send it out. They send it out weekly, actually, to their, on their, like, their weekly report. It's like a weekly newsletter. So that's something to consider.
Okay.
The
website's going to have a lot of information on it. What we'll probably do is put these in a PDF format and stick them on there by, you know, on a list of this is what happened in November or December or whatever, so that you can go in and, at your leisure and actually look at this. There's going to be a lot of stuff on the new report. We're actually going to have all the invoices on there, all the receipts on there. Before they get approved, they're going to get approved by the commission at each one of the city meetings. So that come the day or two after we have the city meeting, then the city treasurer is going to be able to pay the bills. Okay? So this is the new things that we're going
to
do.
You all get to see what the
Yeah, you get to see what it costs to run the city and you're going to be more informed than what you have been in the past. So that's our that's part of our plan with the website, is to keep you all informed. And we're trying to make it to where it's inviting to come back. We tried not to have intrusive colors, as I put them, and we finally came up with the color scheme. So it took us a while. Trust me. All right.
The logo is what's already on one.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit more website.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the catch. And all that, here's... You'd have to file open records. And for like what you're talking about, man, the council members do this. They have their little interns, like, you know, this being a small city, like Commissioner Campbell and Beville, Metcalf, and see, would all have to have like somebody doing this for them, but they have their own little staff. Each council person for City of Louisville has their own little person, like, yeah, legislative aid, that files an open records on Monday for what happened for the week prior in like zip codes 40245, 40243, 40242, whatever they're responsible for. Usually it's regurgitated back in a timely fashion with the open record section of the department, but sometimes it takes a little bit for them to get it back, and then they'll post, they'll redact, and there's a lot of things that are redacted if it involves juveniles or certain types of criminal activity that would be, you know, and it won't tell addresses, it'll just say there were, you know, 16 T-Buck autos, which is theft by unlawful taking from autos, in other words, car break-ins. You know, criminal trespassing, domestic violence issues, whatever like that, but it won't give an address. But they can then get that open records report, and then they can put, you know, this is what happened in the area last week. But, you know, certain things by law they cannot publish. So therefore, that's how they're doing that, because, you know, they've got, you know, clearly they've got a bigger staff and bigger budget, these the Louisville folks do, than the city of Worthing Hills. So, I mean, it would take each one of these commissioners and Mayor Stone to sit down and file open records every Monday in hopes that they've gotten something by at least Tuesday or Wednesday.
We hope we don't have
any. So, I think it was Councilman David.
Yes.
But it looks like it was actually coming from the commander. So it looks like a report that the commander was...
Unless they are, and I don't want to give too much of the inner workings of the police department, but unless they are getting the weekly meeting of all the commanders, then they're not supposed to put that out there, because that is in-house information that goes to the FBI.
Ooh,
and everybody else.
There's some interesting information.
Yeah. So
they don't have U of L, everything that's happened down
U of L. They are, if that's what they're getting, they are not really supposed to be putting that out there. So,
right now,
my lips are sealed on that.
You can go by zip code.
Yeah, you can do it by zip code.
You can go by zip code now and find out all the crime.
Yes,
and like I say, the
Zillow, like, you know, Zillow or something like True Zillow or whatever it is, you can look it up too. So, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to end the meeting?
Make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner C. Do I hear a second?